Can I say that I stand redeemed tonight? Amen. Amen. For no other reason but by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And it's good to be saved. Amen. If I wasn't saved, I couldn't enjoy tonight, that's for sure. But because I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, I've been able to celebrate it every song that's been sung here tonight. Every song that's going to be sung, I've been able to celebrate because of what Christ done for me. I was 11 years old when I accepted Him as my personal Savior. And you know, Miss Barbara, I'm just as saved tonight as I was on that night. Amen. You say, oh, you must have done some real good things in your life. No, exactly the opposite. I was a teenager after I was saved. Somebody say amen right there. Y'all know what happens during that time. Amen. I heard a comedian say one time, he said, I've looked all over the Bible to find out how old Lucifer was when he rebelled against God. He said, it ain't in there. He said, but I'm going to guess he was right around 12, 13 years old. Amen. He said, God gave us teenagers to know what it's like to make something after our old image and have it turn against us. Amen. Amen. Listen to me, it ain't because of anything I did that I stand redeemed tonight. It's because of everything Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Standing behind the pulpit preaching the word didn't save me. Sitting in a church pew didn't save me. All my life I sat in a church pew, that didn't save me. When I was 11 years old, one night in Judd Sonia, Arkansas, laying in my bed, I come to the realization I was lost and on my way to hell. And with tears in my eyes, never even got out of my bed. Didn't even make it out of my bed. Never even got up. I laying right there and tears in my eyes. I looked up to heaven and I cried out to God for His grace and mercy. I said, God, I need something from You that I can't do for myself. And I accepted Him as my personal Savior. And I've been saved ever since. Amen. I told you, y'all come tonight. We have church on Sunday night. Amen. And we like it. We like PM God as much as we like AM God. Amen. We have a good time on Sunday night. And we like good singing, but we also like preaching. So I'm going to spend a little time tonight for the next, 30, 45 minutes, an hour. I don't have many notes, just about 5 pages worth. But if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, if you don't have one, there are a few in the pews around. But Genesis chapter 12 is where we're going to be. We're going to begin with verse 1. And I want to speak to you a message tonight that I've titled, Getting Back to Bethel. Getting Back to Bethel tonight. Bethel's a good place to be, and we're going to see that here in just a little while. But I want to speak this to you tonight. I pray it'll help us. I know we've got Bethany folks here, and y'all help me tonight, all right? I'm going to need it. I'm going to need some amens. Y'all know that. I'm going to know that you're out there. But I know we got visitors in here tonight, and I pray that God will help us all the way around. Genesis chapter number 12, beginning with verse 1, the Bible reads, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Let me just stop and say right there, throw a little parenthetical thought in there. I still believe that today. Amen. You say, oh, that's not for America, preacher. Read on. And in thee shall all families, that says all families of the earth be blessed. I believe that still stands today. I say, praise God for Israel. Amen. Praise God for Israel. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, young man, when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance, and they gathered, and they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar. Pay close attention here. Unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. Having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, if you would, skip over to verse chapter 13. And let me just stop and say right now, I'm going to say this at the end. I'm really going to push this home, but praise God for a chapter 13. Listen to this. Chapter 13, verse 1, it says, and Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife. Now, there's a lot of stuff happened from verse 10, chapter 12, verse 10, to chapter 13, verse 1. There's a lot of stuff that went on. We see Abram entering into Egypt in verse 10. And in chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says that he's went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and unto the place of the altar, where he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we call on you tonight. We call on you right now, Father. We thank you for the songs that's been sung. God, we thank you that we can have a song like was sung there at the very end. I am redeemed. I stand redeemed here tonight because of you and who you are, God. And I pray right now that as I stand here and preach your word and preach this message, Father, I pray that you'll just arrest the attention of the listener here. And God, help us tonight. Help us to see truth in your word. Father, give me a double portion of your preaching grace. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to see first that, you know, when God called him out and as Abraham began to journey. Now, before I jump into this story, I want to make this clear. You know, it's easy for us, and oftentimes I've been guilty of this, as we look at these Bible, I call them characters, but they were men. These were real folks, you understand? This is not a comic book, amen? This is a true book. Everything that's in this book happened just the way it said it happened. But it's easy for us a lot of times to look at these men and to look at them as some sort of superhero, like some sort of Superman or Batman or Spider-Man. And truthfully, a lot of times we'll put them on a pedestal that if they were here themselves, they'd tell us, don't you put me on any kind of pedestal. I'm just like you are. But because they were flesh and blood. They were sinners. And if they were saved, they were sinners saved by God, by grace. They were sinners saved by him. But the deal is, they put them on this pedestal, but they were just like us. And they struggled. The Bible says over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen? When God called him to leave his homeland, when God called him to leave his family, he was looking for a city. He was looking. Now, we see right here that even Abraham, Father Abraham, the father of this nation that had all these people that come from him, Abraham, this great man, even Abraham messed up. Even Abraham made a mistake. And as we see this section of his life, we see that even he had weaknesses. So don't you sit there and think tonight that just because you've been a member of a church for umpteen years, or just because you've been saved for umpteen years, that you are above the wiles of the devil. Even Abraham himself had weaknesses. Even Abraham fell. He learned by experience that the best place to be when things got difficult, when things got hard, the best place to be wasn't down there in Egypt. The best place to be was in Bethel. The best place to be was where God wanted him to be. He was at Bethel when everything started. God called him to go there. This was God's plan for his life. The Bible says when he entered in, when he got into Canaan, the Bible says that God made it clear to him, this is your land, I'm giving it to you. The Bible says that he went, and he had Bethel on one side, he had another city on the other side. The Bible says right there that he pitched his tent. That means he set up his roots. He decided, this is where I'm going to be. This is where I'm going to stay. But you see, there was something difficult happened. We're going to see that in a minute. But God called him and brought him to Bethel. How wonderful and glorious Bethel was. It was a wonderful place. You know what the name Bethel means? House. Oh, listen to me, saint, tonight. You say, God's not calling me anywhere. God is calling you somewhere tonight. Listen to me close. You say, God's not calling me to pack up and move to some foreign country. That's not what I'm saying, but God's calling us all somewhere tonight. The word Bethel, the name Bethel means house of God, the perfect will of God. That was what God had for Abram at this time, not only being at the place where God wanted him to do, but doing what God wanted him to do. Not just being where God wanted him to be, but doing what God wanted him to do. God wanted him where? At the house of God. He wanted him at Bethel. He said, this is your place. Let me tell you about this place. We'll notice as we read through this, and I'm not going to read it again, but as we go through here, you'll notice that number one, it was a place of prayer. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 8 that he called upon the name of the Lord. Listen to me real close. As a saved child of God, if you're in here tonight and you're one of those that could stand up in that last song and you could give glory to God that you're redeemed in this place, let me tell you where you need to be. You need to be in a place of prayer. You need to be with a people of prayer. You need to be in a place where people are not scared to get on their knees and wage war. Where people are not scared to pray for the sick. Where people are not scared, listen to me, to pray for the helpless and the hopeless and the lost. You need to be in a place of prayer. Let me just say something. I wouldn't be part of a church that didn't pray. Amen. You say there's not enough time to pray. If you don't have enough time to pray in your services, you need to cut out something else. Amen. Don't you cut out prayer. Prayer is a necessary thing. Can I just say something? You go over and you read about Egypt, you don't find any prayer there. Amen. You don't find any prayer in Egypt. Tell you about that place, that house of God at Bethel. Number one, it was a place of prayer. Number two, listen to me, it was a place of power. Oh, you go back and you look at that promise that was made. I made a point to read it and I still believe it tonight. He says over in verse 3, this is what he says. He says, I will bless them that bless thee. That's what he says. He says, and in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. That was a place of power. God's power was on that place. Listen to me. We need to be in a place where God's power is. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of churches today. Listen to me. They got a lot of things, but God's power is not one of them. Amen. Listen, you don't get God's power anyway. The Bible says this. You go over and you read. I'm going to ad lib a little bit here. Can y'all handle that? This is what I say all the time. I'm going to put it in hillbilly terms. Amen? Put it in hillbilly terms. You go over and read, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. While he's up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he took Peter, James, and John with him at Inner Circle. He went up there, and they saw great, marvelous things. While they're up there experiencing the power of God, while they're up there seeing the glory of God, down there's some other disciples down there at the foot of the mountain. The Bible says that they brought one unto them disciples that was possessed. They brought one to them. And the Bible says they tried to heal them and couldn't get it done. They just couldn't do it. So the Bible says when the Lord Jesus Christ, he come down out of the mountain. He come climbing down out of that mountain. The Bible says them old disciples come to him. And the Bible says that they come to him and they said, there's one here and we tried to do something about it. We tried to cast them out. We tried to do something. And he said, where is your faith? Now I want you to understand something. He'd already gave them the power. Back there in Matthew chapter 10, he already gave them the power over the demons. He'd already gave them the power to heal. He'd already given them that power. And here they are, and they couldn't get it done. And Jesus said this, this kind cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting. That's what he said. He said, this kind cometh forth, but by prayer and fasting. This is what he's saying. Look right here. He'd already given them the power, but what they needed was to get connected. They needed to get connected to that power. And he said the only way to get connected is to knock yourself down a few notches and get down there on your face in sackcloth and ashes and get down there miserable in the flesh and call out to me and I'll see you through. Amen. Listen to me. We need to get to that place of power. God's given us that power over in the book of Acts. The Bible says that power shall come from on high. Power's in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit over in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says it descended like cloven tongues, fiery tongues. It descended out upon them and empowered the New Testament church right there. Hey, we've got the power of God. You say, what do we need then? We need some folks that'll get in a place that's got connected to it. Oh, we need to get in a place that's connected to that power. Amen. There's a lot of churches out there today, but a lot of them are powerless. They're powerless. Look here, they've got good orators. They'll stand and give a 20-minute sermon, 20-minute sermonette for the majorette. Amen. You see, my wife's doing it. 20 minutes, amen. Look right here. They'll beat around the bush. Look, there's a play church. I don't want to play church. I want to be the church. I wasn't called to play at anything. I was called to be something. Amen. I was called to be something. That's just a place of power. Can y'all handle a little bit of preaching tonight? I'm just now getting warmed up. A little bit of preaching here. Amen. It takes me a few minutes. That first 30 minutes just warmed y'all up, didn't it? First 30 minutes just warms me up too, brother. It was a place of prayer. It was a place of power. Listen to me. It was a place of provision. Oh, God provided for them there. Why? Because he called them there. You look back here in verse 2. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. He said, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. It was a place of provision. Oh, listen to me. Folks running around today like chickens with the head cut off, crying out, oh, God, you're not hearing me. Oh, God, you're not hearing me. You say, what do they need? They need to get back to Bethel. Everybody all right? Amen. They need to get back to Bethel. They need to get back to that house of God. They need to get back to that place where God's called them to in the first place, where he said, this right here is where you need to be. You say, preacher, the church is not that important. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus died for it. I don't know about y'all, but that, if Jesus is going to die for it, the only begotten Son of God, that's kind of important to me. Amen. If it's important to him, it's going to be important to me. It was also a place of protection. You know, God will do something for you in the church. Amen. Hey, that's one. Let's get to two. What happened? Man, he's there at Bethel. Things are going good. He's built him an altar. He's called upon the name of the Lord. Things are going real good. The Bible said he continued southward. And the Bible says in verse number 10, a famine came. Famine was a time of difficulty. There's different kind of famines in the Bible. It may be a famine of water. It may be a famine of food. There's different kind of famines in God's Word. Later on in the Old Testament, it talks about a famine of the preached Word and the heard Word and the accepted Word. But at this particular time, it was a hard time. Things were getting real difficult over where God had them. Let me just say something right now. Everybody look right up here. Don't you pack up and leave where God brought you just cause it gets tough. Amen. Don't you pack up and leave. You say, why not? We fix and find out what happened to Abram. A bad time came. It got difficult. Listen to me. I know it looks real tough right now. America's I hadn't been alive that long. But I've seen it in my short lifetime. I mean, do a downward spiral. You say, I blame it on. It don't matter who you blame it on. It's happened. We are where we are. Somebody say amen. We are where we are. We're in a bad time. Diseases are spreading at an alarming rate. There's always, look right here, pray for them folks over in Paris. Did you know right now we are under a threat? We have an enemy tonight. If it can happen to Paris, it's happened to us once. Somebody help me. They've infiltrated us once and brought down them towers. Amen. And we got real serious for a little while, but Lord help us, we've started backing off. Amen. It's like we've forgotten. Maybe what happened over there, God bless them, but maybe what happened over there will open the eyes of those in Paris, the French, and maybe it'll open the eyes of the Americans too. And we'll look up and say, oh goodness, we are in dangerous times. You say, what do we do, preacher? Take up arms. Yeah, take up this arm. Amen. Get back to Bethel. Oh, praise the Lord. Whoo, that's cold and everything. Y'all saw who did that. That's another 45 minutes of preach right there. Whoo. Amen. There's a possibility of all this warfare, teenage suicide, even adult suicide. Suicide rates gone through the roof. People don't know how to cope anymore. Amen. Divorce rates go through the roof. Why? People don't know how to cope anymore. Something difficult happens. What do they do? Give up. Can't do it. I'm done. Give up. It's over with. Listen to me. According to the great minds of the world, the future of mankind is bleak. Duh. It didn't take some great mind to tell me that. I read it in the Bible. Perilous times shall come, where men shall be lovers of their own selves. Amen. Perilous times shall come. Listen to me. You say, what was his mistake? His mistake was leaving Bethel. the worst thing in the world a person can do when bad times come is to turn away from God. The worst thing that we can do, now let me just get in here right now. Just because you can still get excited, and just because you can still get excited about God doesn't mean that you haven't turned away from God in a sense. Because we can, look right here, we can still give a semblance of Christianity, so-called what the world uses. You can't be Christ-like and turn your back on Christ. Somebody say amen. But you can still give some kind of semblance of being real spiritual and not be going the same way God is. You can be faking it real good, is what I'm saying. You can be camouflaged real good. And the last thing that I want to do, listen to me, is the last thing that I want to do is hear that trumpet sound and come to find out all I've been doing is lying to myself. The Bible says over there to be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving who? Your own selves. You know why it's so important that that's in there? Be you doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because look right here. You can fool me. You can fool me by sitting here tonight with a smile on your face and say, amen, preacher. That's good, preacher. You can fool me tonight by walking out them back doors and shaking my hand. And you can fool me. Look right here, church. Y'all can fool me by sitting there every service. Every service you can fool me by being a hearer. But listen to me real close. You're not going to fool yourself. You know whether or not it's real. You know whether or not you're real. You know whether or not your relationship is real. You know whether or not your service is real. You know whether or not you get up out of something like this. You know what this is for tonight? You know why we had this tonight? It's to fire us up. Everybody all right? You say, what do you mean fire us up? So that we can get in here and hear about everything that Jesus has done for us and hear about that rapture and hear about that blood and hear about that cross, and that we can sit out there with tears running down our face and a shout on our lips, and we can celebrate the fact that we're saved and not going to hell, and we can celebrate these things and get up and not walk out of there and just be a hearer, but walk out of there excited about what God's done and take it to a lost and dying world. Amen. That's what this is about. Oh, but bless those who walk out of here tonight and all they can say is, boy, Legacy 5 sure did good. Listen to me. You say, oh, they're going to do good. Yeah, but let me just help you real fast. Walking out of here and spreading that's not going to get nobody saved. Amen. This group right here, they're going to sing good songs and they're going to do a good job, but there's not one of these men that can save a soul. Not one of them can save a soul. You know what you need to do? Take the message they're singing. Take that and walk out of here and say, listen, I was listening to this group last night and they sure did sing well, and let me tell you what they were saying. Let me tell you what they sung about. Oh, if you can hear them, but listen to the songs. Listen to what they're singing about. Lord, bless those that walk out of here tonight and all they can say is, boy, that was sure good. And they don't say a word when they walk out of this place. Bless them. Listen, you say, what happened to them? What was the worst thing he could do? The worst thing he could do was leave Bethel. You know, we've got the mindset today. Let me put it to you like this. We've got the mindset today that we're above what God has done. God has instituted two things, right or wrong. What are they? Church, there's a family, and then church, right? He instituted the family, Genesis. He instituted the church, right? Right or wrong? Is that right or wrong? Y'all help me. That's right. Instituted two things. Now let's look for a minute at the two things that are being attacked today. The two things. Now we get cross-eyed, fighting mad when them liberal politicians stand up and talk about all that equality. Somebody help me. Because the Bible still says it ain't right. Bible still says it's one man, one woman for one lifetime. Let me just throw that in there. Amen. That's right. That's what God instituted. God set that up. God done that. God put that into play. Then he instituted the church. You know what the mindset of us today is? I don't have to be a part of a church. We've promoted self over the institution of marriage and over the institution of the church. Promote itself. Now, why I reckon we would do something like that? Go back to Genesis. God instituted the marriage. In slithered this serpent. He done told them, you can eat of every tree but that one right there. Don't you eat of that tree, thou shalt die. Don't you eat of that one. In slithered this serpent. Here he come in. He whispered in the ear of Eve, thou shalt not surely die. But if you eat of that tree, what'll happen? You'll be as knowing good and evil. You say, what is that? That's self-promotion. That's putting self up there. I can be as gods. I can be something if I partake of that. I can be something if I do that. That's what was so enticing about that. When she took it, it was about me. I can be something. That's what we're still doing today. Amen. It's about my happiness. I got to be happy. So I'm not going to follow God-designed marriage. It's not about happiness. You say, what's it about? Biblicalness. Amen. Is that a word? It is tonight. Write it. Put it on a t-shirt. That's a good one for y'all. Amen. It's about being biblical. That's what it is. You say, you just don't want them to be happy. I don't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing. It's because you don't love them. I don't have a thing to do with it. It's because you hate them. I don't have a thing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that God said, God instituted, God did it. Now here we go again. That's number one. We go here to number two. Now what have we done? We've put ourselves above the New Testament church. I don't have to. Look right here. Hey, don't you put yourself on no pedestal you never meant to be on. Amen. You won't like to fall down. Somebody help me. You won't like that hard bottom. Don't you put yourself up there. Jesus Christ instituted the New Testament church. Right. You know the worst thing Abraham could have done? Leave Bethel. Praise God, God never quit loving him. You know, he left Bethel. Where'd he go? I'm going to get away from my notes here. Can y'all have a little ad-libbing? How much longer have I got? I'm the pastor, sir. All night? Praise the Lord. Whew, I better slow down then. All right, here we go. You want tag team? We got enough preacher boys in here, we probably could. What was I saying? All right, here you go. Where did he go when he left Bethel? What's Egypt a type of? Egypt's a type of the world. You know he encountered some bad things he got to Egypt? There was nothing good from the moment they started walking in. He said, He looked at his wife and he said, man, she's good looking. Amen. This is my wife, by the way. I'm not looking at somebody else's wife saying that. That's mine. So y'all don't look at her either. Amen. He said, we go in here, Pharaoh's going to like you. Somebody help me. You're going to have to tell him, you're my sister. Or else he's going to take you from me and kill me. If that wasn't a red flag, I mean, how much? Well, I don't want to go in here because I'm liable to get killed. I just don't go in there. He encountered some things. Listen to me, his life was in danger. He found himself, listen, when he left Bethel, when he got out of the house of God and he got separated from the house of God, when he got separated from Bethel, when he left there, he found himself in the hands of a strange king. So he didn't have no king where he was. Oh, he did. And it was a king he knew well. It was a king that was looking after his good. But when he left that place, he found himself in the hands of a strange king. Listen to me, you get out of God's will, you get out of the place God has for you, and you're going to find yourself in the hands of a strange king. I'm talking about in a place where, look right here, you say God could step in. Yeah, but listen to me, Satan is the ruler of this world right now. And God could step in, but you know what he does a lot of the time? He lets us learn from our mistakes. He lets us go through things and see things and endure things so that we can walk away from there a little stronger, a little more solid. His life was in danger. Listen to me, his family was in danger. You get out of Bethel, your life's in danger. Say, you mean God's going to kill me? I mean, God could. Amen. His family was in danger. His possessions were in danger. He became afraid. He started to scheme. But listen to me. As I close, I know y'all waiting on that. Here we go. Now that I have your attention, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to take just a little intermission after this. I'm going to finish this message. We're going to have a time of invitation. And then we're going to have a little intermission. And when things are said and done, I'll give you some instructions and some places to go. But let me finish this. I said this earlier. Let me say it again. Because here we, right now, listen to me, right now, Abram's in Egypt. Right, that's where we've left him. Right now, Abram's in Egypt and his life's in danger, his family's in danger, his possessions are in danger, and all of these things, there's all of these things that could happen. And right now, Abram's in a difficult place, but look right up here, praise God for a chapter 13. Amen. Listen to me, praise God for a chapter 13. You say, what happened in chapter 13? God brought Abram out of Egypt and back to Bethel. God got him out of the world and brought him back to his house. God brought him out of there safely and brought him back. That kind of speaks to me because I've been to Egypt. I'm not proud of it. Look right here. I'm not proud of it by any stretch of your imagination. But I've been in that horrible place. And I've been in the hands of that horrible king. And I've been in a place where he could do things to me. And I've been under his power and under his schemes. And I've been there. And I'm thankful for a God that'll bring me out of Egypt and back to Bethel. It'll bring me back to his house. Listen to me. Thank God. Praise God for chapter 13. You know, it's in chapter 13. Listen here. It's that we see the favor of God. This is what he says. God blessed him despite his betrayal. That's favor. He come out of there what? Richer than he was when he went in. Am I right or wrong? He come out of there richer than he was when he went in. Look right here. Don't go to Egypt looking for money thinking you can just come back to the house of God richer. Amen? That's not what this is saying. This is saying if you find yourself there and if you'll pull yourself up by your bootstraps and find favor in God, God can bring you out of Egypt and he can bring you richer. Maybe it's just knowing more and experiencing more. Maybe your testimony's a little bigger and a little stronger, but he can bring you out of there richer than you was when you went in. It's in chapter 13 we find the favor of God. It's in chapter 13 that we see the forgiveness of God. And you say, why? How do you see the forgiveness of God in this? He could have left him in Egypt. But God forgave him and brought him back to Bethel. And it's in chapter 13, listen to me, that we see the restored fellowship of God. We see it right there. You know what happened in verse 4? Anybody remember what happened in verse 4? He started by building an altar. He got to Bethel. He built an altar. The Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. Then he got separated. You know what he did in chapter 4, in chapter 13, verse 4, when he got back? He went back to that altar. Because that place, it was still there. That's good. I could preach that, but I'm not going to. It was still there. And the Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. You know what we see right there? Restored fellowship. We're going to have verse 9. I don't know the people that I'm talking to. I know you, some of you by face and by name. Some of you I don't. I've just met you tonight. Some of you I haven't even got to meet you yet. But I don't know you. These guys right here, I'm meeting them for the first time tonight. I don't know them. But I know this. I know that a while back we had a Southern Gospel singer come to our church. He'd been singing Southern Gospel music all of his life. Listen to me. And the whole time, every time that he would stand up there and sing those songs about Jesus, He was an alcoholic, and he was lost. I know this, all of us, tonight, we're all in the same place. We're all here. We're flesh and blood. There's one person that's been lifted up here. It's not me, it's not him, it's not them, it's not anybody. There's one person that's lifted up here because he's above us. He's above us. And that's who we're looking to right now. You see, it's his favor and forgiveness and fellowship that we're looking for. And I ask you tonight, do you have that? Is this real for you? Can you honestly say tonight that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior without a shadow of a doubt? All across the room, can we honestly say, yes, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? I tell my church all the time, can you go back to the place? Say, I don't remember the day, preacher. That's fine, I don't either. I don't remember the time. I do. It was nighttime. You know what I do remember, though? I remember that place. That place was my waterbed in Judge Sonia, Arkansas. You know, the Apostle Paul, he remembered his place too. Over and over again in Scripture, he'd say, I was going down that Damascus Road. I can just see him, little old preacher, I can just see him. I was going down that Damascus Road. We don't see the pause in Scripture, but I believe it's there. And see, just stop a minute and just think back to that time that he was a lost man thinking he was doing God's work. And he was on that Damascus Road, and for the first time, he experienced the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. And right there, his life was changed. And he remembered it. Do you have a place? And you go back to a place, that right there, that's where he found me. That's where I called upon him. That's my place. Maybe you've been saved for a long time. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got out of Bethel. You've got out of the house of God, out of the fellowship of God, and you get away from God. You say, but I'm at a Southern gospel singing tonight. Whoop-dee-doo, right? Coming tonight doesn't magically make us everything okay. We can be honest and let this be what it was for. To shake us and get our attention to go out and be brighter and be stronger and glorify God. But maybe you can't do that where you are. And you need to come back to Bethel. Back to that place God had for you. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And as we sing, I know we've got a lot of our church folks, and if you need to come to the altar, we use the altar here. Amen? That's a place of sacrifice. You have to humble yourself at the altar. And if you're here tonight and you're visiting with us, listen, you're invited. You're invited to come. If you need to come pray in the altar, you say, preacher, I'm doing pretty good right now. But let's be real honest. We all know somebody that's out of Bethel. We all know somebody that's down there in Egypt, and they're fighting for their life, and they're fighting for these things. We all know somebody. Maybe you want to come bring them to the Lord tonight. Come stand in the gap. Bring your petitions before Him. Whatever you need, as we sing together, what are we going to do here?
Hymn 490.
Whatever you need. No, look right here. I'm making a push for the New Testament church.
Lord,
amen. I'm making a push for faithfulness. I'm making a push for service. I'm making a push for God's people to get where God wants them to be and be faithful to it. And be doers and not hearers only. Quit deceiving herself. Walking around thinking we're so much better, and let God humble us and show that charity and that love and walk around who we are, sinners saved by grace. by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing that we've done, but everything that He's done for us. And declare that truth and that message to our families and to our cities, to our co-workers, to the strangers at the supermarket, anybody that we come in contact with. Share the love of Jesus.
I'm coming home.
It's easy to be Christian when you're in a church full of Christians. It's a different thing altogether when we walk out of here and go our separate ways tomorrow. And we're scattered out all over this state.
Lord, I'm coming.
And we're mixed in with people that don't believe like we believe, or people that don't believe at all. It makes it a little more difficult to stand and give glory to God because we're redeemed. So what we need is just a big old dose of the power of God in here tonight, the grace of God in here tonight, so that we can go and be more than we are. Be like them Old Testament saints, some Old Testament prophets, them men of God throughout the Bible. And shine that light. Be that salt.
Lord,
do everything we're called to do. We're going to sing one more verse. Still got a couple of people praying. One more verse.
I've tired of sin.
I tell my people all the time, look right here. Don't you hold on back that church pew and regret the decision you made when you walk out of here later. Don't you get home and think to yourself, man, I sure wish I'd have went up there and prayed. I sure wish I'd have made a move. I sure wish I'd have got saved tonight. Or I sure wish I'd have got down there and turned myself over to God and got a little more faithful. Don't you walk out of here tonight regretting the decision you're making right now.
Lord, I'm coming.
Let God be God. Let Him do His thing. Let Him speak to hearts. Let Him move people. That's why we're here, isn't it? See God do something. See Him speak. Move.
Open now thine arms of love.
But I'm a preacher and I like to preach. Amen. And I've been called to preach here, so that's what I do. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, amen. I'm glad y'all come tonight. We're going to have a little intermission here. If you need to use the restroom, whatever, we're going to take, I don't know how long you guys need. 30, 45 minutes? 10, 15 minutes? Okay. I was being generous. 10, 15 minutes, we're going to take just a few minutes. And if you need to go to the restroom, get a drink of water, you can go out here. And you can go across the way over there in our fellowship hall. There's restrooms there. Or you can go out these doors right here, down this hallway, down there to the right. There's a ladies' room and a men's room down here. And whatever you need, we've got 10 or 15 minutes. And then we'll come back and we'll hear some more singing. And at the end, we're going to take up a love offering for these guys for coming and singing for us tonight. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer. Can we do that? Brother Ronnie Reynolds, would you pray for us, brother?